Thank you, Frank. And through the modern inventions and computers and such, believe it or not, I see Larry, there's a small laptop or a kind of computer there, and Larry can see me, and I can actually see him on the first row. So that's you don't have to be here. You can be here mechanically, electronically. So that's magnificent. It's wonderful to be with you. It really is a joy. I feel like I should be here this morning rather than any place in the world. And it's just a joy to be with you, and what lovely people. I'm going to read 2 Timothy chapter 3, the first five verses. I'd call this guidance for difficult times. Guidance for difficult times. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. Second Timothy 3:1-5. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Well, may the Lord add his blessing, and may the Spirit teach us this morning from this. I also am going to kind of give a Greek lesson, but it's just going to be one word, so that's not too incomprehensible. There are two basic words I'm sure we're familiar with, John 21, the verb agapao, love, and or agape in the noun, and then phileo, the word love, and phile as the noun. And sometimes you hear definitions that are too complicated, but I think the agape, or from the verb agapao, we say, I like to define it as the love of devotion, the love of devotion. Some say higher, lower, but the love of devotion. And phileo, the verb phile, the noun, is the love of affection, the love of affection. So, and I'm going to look at phileo. It's used five times here in this passage, and what not to love and then what to love. But, for instance, agapao, the love of devotion. Remember the Lord said, Peter, do you agapao, do you agape, do you love me? And Peter said, I phileo, I phile you. Phileo, he used. I had a wonderful professor when I was in seminary, Alan McRae, who was thought to be the top archaeologist in the world. And in fact, both he and I in Seattle were expert witnesses. He was the expert witness in the Old Testament, and I was declared in the court the expert witness in the New Testament, and it was a great honor. And he's a generation older than me now with the Lord. But anyway, Dr. McRae, I loved him with a love of devotion, but we were never pals. His first name was Alan. I never came up to him and said, hi, Al, how you doing? You know, it's Al and I. I don't think I ever played a game with him. I don't know that I ever even did anything fun with him, and knowing him for like 20 years. But He was a great teacher of the Bible and a great teacher of biblical history and biblical languages. He was one of the translators of the NIV, and he recommended me to be one of the translators of the New King James. But Al and I weren't pals. I loved him, you know, but it wasn't, you know, hey, Al, let's go fishing together. In fact, I've not gone fishing with anybody. Just not a fish. But there are others we love, like you. We have affection. We love. So the Lord Jesus is really saying, Peter, do you love me in the sense of devotion? And Peter was ashamed to say that because he had denied the Lord. But he said, I love you. He walked with him for 3 years. He knew the Lord. He loved the Lord, certainly in that way. And in this passage, Paul's writing this from Rome, somewhere around 64, we think, and A.D. And among other things, this is his last letter, and he gives certain warnings to us, to Timothy, and talks about the last days. Again, I think when I went to college, Temple University, I was taught in various classes that the world was getting better, and crime was going down, and there'd be no more wars, and we'd have a wonderful world because of knowledge. Are you familiar with Phi Beta Kappa? You heard of that? That's the honorary fraternity in the high-class colleges, the Ivy League colleges, for people who've gotten all A's or have done well academically. And if you're in the top part of your class, they ask you to join the honorary society called Phi Beta Kappa. And you know what that stands for? Anybody? Not that you should. I mean, that's not a Bible verse. Phi Beta Kappa. It stands for Philosophia Bayou Gubernates. Or knowledge, philosophy, they didn't just mean to say, knowledge of life is the governor. In other words, knowledge controls your life. Knowledge governs your life. And when you know things, you can run your life well. Well, that was, by the way, they started Phi Beta Kappa in 1776, the same year as the American Revolution, in William and Mary College. That existed at that time, of course. And the idea was if you get smart and learn a lot and you know about history and the world does, as the world learns more, it's going to get better. And, there's a little truth to that, but we see today we've got more college graduates than ever before. We have more people with master's degrees and PhDs. And unfortunately, some of them are monsters. And Frank has well said about what's going on today, and we see commonly, and we're shocked. I mean, we know it, but we're shocked when we see congressmen lying and others lying and no hesitation to ruin people's lives and accuse them, and even to say lies, public lies, and then we hear some moral people condemning others for immorality, and just when you're about to say amen, 2 weeks later you find the condemner has done the same thing, and suddenly, oh my, they have, a couple of weeks ago they were condemning somebody, and now we find that they're accused of doing the same things, which makes it worse. And anyway, the Bible tells us that we're saved through, of course, the gospel and believing in our wonderful Lord. And there's peace here, and there's peace in the hearts of Christians. But in the world, in the end, it's going to be a bad situation when the Lord comes. The world will not be converted. I've heard preachers, by the way. I heard messages. I remember hearing Nigel Lee at Shelton, at Clearwater Christian College, He said, I care not what the newspapers say, but the Word says that the gospel will convert everyone before the Lord comes. And he was a great speaker, and people would say, Amen. And he'd say, I care not what the newspapers say, but the world will be converted. Well, we wish he were right. We wish he were right. It's a shame he's wrong. But that's not really what the Bible says. It says here that in the last days, perilous times will come. Not going to be good. Now, here is a little oasis, by the way. I know not theologically, but I almost feel like I'm in semi-heaven when I'm here. Everybody seems wonderful. Everybody, we talk, we sing and about peace, and it was grand. I understand everything's not perfect, but for a visitor once a month, it seems perfect. Tell me no bad stories. Perilous times will come, and I'm just going to look at a couple places, actually five, as time, I watch the clock, but where phileo is used, the word love, he uses the word phileo five times in this passage. Five verses, five phileos. But it says, men shall be lovers of their own selves. That word is philoaltoi. Philoaltoi. Philo, love. Altoi is Greek for themselves. We get the word automatic from it. See, auto means self. Automatic, making, running. Something that's automatic is auto, self, matic, running. Automatic. The autonomic nervous system is auto, self, nomic, law. It runs your heart and things like that without you having to think, which is nice. But men shall be philo-auto. They will be lovers of themselves. And, of course, we understand that we should love God and love one another even before ourselves. And a person who just takes care of themselves, that's not good. The best mother is not the mother who takes care of herself every moment, but the best mother is one who takes care of the children. The best husband is not the guy who always does what he wants, but he considers the wife. Maybe he yells yippee when he sees her. We've had that this morning. So it says, people in the end of the age are going to be lovers of themselves. And then he uses the word, they will be, it says covetous. You see where it says covetous in verse 2? Well, the Greek word for that is philo argentoi. Philo, lovers of argentoi, money. And it's good translation, covetous, meaning lover. But it says lovers of money, philo argentoi. Argentoi actually was the old word for silver and taken up in Latin. And, you know, the abbreviation in of the chemical silver is AG, argentium. And the name Argentina. Argentina means the silver country, rich with silver. Argentina, many people say Argentina is the best country in South America. And they call Buenos Aires, they call the Paris of South America. But Argentina means the silver country. And Paul says people in the end of the age will not only be philo-altos, lover of self, but they will be philo-argentia, lovers of money. Now, we're just explaining what the verses are. I don't think this is the group that we have to yell at that you're all too covetous. But we are disappointed in certain public servants who go to Congress or something or into public service as poor people, and then a couple years later they have $6 million and more than all their salary, you know, tripled, and who make choices that serve themselves or choices that will get them money, rather choices that are righteous, that honor God, that think of the people. And so Paul says, we're not shocked. We're told in advance, just like a doctor who says after a procedure, you're going to have some pain, it's going to get red, it may bleed a little. He tells you that so you won't be shocked when it happens. If the doctor said, oh, you'll be fine, you'll feel nothing, no pain, and then you start to bleed, you think things are out of control. So doctors warn you about that. Well, the Bible warns us that at the end of the age, people are going to be, a lot of them, philo argentia, they're going to be lovers of money as a primary love, instead of loving God. And by the way, Palm Beach, and a nice town, the richest city in Florida, but whenever we drive through Palm Beach, you turn the radio to AM 740, and all you hear is, if you have $300,000 or more, give us a call. We'd like to plan for your retirement and take care of you. And it's money program after money program after money program. No, okay. But it's just saying that at the end of the age, the priority with some will be taking care of themselves, and others will be taking care of money. And then there's a third one in verse 4, philohedonai, verse 4, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure. He uses philo again, philohedonai, verse 4, lovers of pleasure. So you see, Paul uses three times philo, lovers. In the end of the age, the other things say different things, but the three times he uses philo, love, he says people will be philo altoi, lovers of themselves, philo argentoi, lovers of money, silver, and they will be philo hedonai, hedonism, verse 4, lovers of pleasure. Lovers of pleasure. Now, we understand in the right place, of course everybody has to watch their money and their retirement. And of course you have to take care of yourself, You don't care, come out in rags and say, well, I don't care about myself. But lovers of pleasure. And we see on TV often, especially with the Hollywood crowd, it's pictured like all of life is just fun, parties, drinking, and fun. But what do we see? Unhappily, we've just in the last couple of weeks had a rash of suicides among famous people, and a couple suicides among the children of Hollywood stars. Which really grieves you, you say they have all the money they want, the children have all the food they want, but they get a fancy car when they're 16, and they're running with the wrong crowd, and soon they're in drugs or something, and their life is going to parties and fun, and yet we read, you turn on the internet, such and such is going back to rehab for the third time. Such and such is going back to rehab for the second time. Such and such has tried to take their own life the second time. And we see there's joy in Jesus. There's peace in Jesus. And those that find the Lord, there's happiness in the Lord. And there's not, as the book of Ecclesiastes tells us, just having fun and pleasure is not what we're meant for, and it doesn't bring total happiness. It just brings momentarily happiness. And you mix with the wrong people, you do the wrong things. And so Paul says, Timothy, in the end, people are going to be philohedenoi. Hedonism means the pursuit of pleasure. You know, the Greeks, the great philosophers, they discussed one of their big subjects, what was they called the summa bonum, the greatest good. What was the greatest good? And some said it was to live in pleasure, that living in pleasure was the greatest thing you could do in life. And I remember when I went to Temple University and had a philosophy course, the professor said, well, how many think that living in pleasure is the best thing you could do? A lot of hands went up. I didn't raise my hand. I was a Christian by then. And then he suggested, and I'm not sure this is not, he suggested they ought to try to become pigs, because he said pigs have fun all day. They just eat and slop around. And if pleasure is the greatest good, you ought to wish you were a pig or try to become a pig, because think of it, all you do is eat and drink all day and slop around, and you don't have any worries. And he was putting the pig's life as the good life. Well, nobody raised their hand for that. But living in pleasure, we see, isn't really what God made us for. And it doesn't produce, I mean, we're not saying we have to go, as they did in the Middle Ages, asceticism, where Christians, you know, beat themselves with rods and did not eat and just suffered and thought that the way to get near God was through suffering, self-afflicted. So happiness, the Bible lauds being happy, but it says in the end times we're going to see a world where people love themselves, they love money, they love pleasure, and of course in modern elections we cry, as we see too many in America, you know, shifting to this, partly because of TV, and painting, making fun of religion, making fun of God, and picturing the good life is just fun, fun, fun. And then you hear, I was one of the happy stars that I really admired, this woman. I remember reading that when the cameras were off, she did a lot of profanity. And I was shocked. I'm not even going to mention her name. I'd be too embarrassed, because I liked her, and I thought she was just Miss Polly, purebred, perfect. And I'm shocked to hear she uses bad language between the pictures. But it's Christ that brings us joy, abiding joy, and happiness in this life, and peace. It said, these people, now three times it used philo for good, now two more times it has it with a negative. So, it says in verse 3, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers. Why? Do we see this today, false accusers? You know, there's no hesitance to, years ago, reporters would not say anything bad about the president. They would actually hide things that were bad. And we understand the Bible and Proverbs says that God despises a talebearer, and we shouldn't go around saying bad things about, oh, you know what she did, you know what he did. That's not good. That's not what God wants. Love hides faults, and love prays for our enemies. But it says that in the end time, people will be false accusers. You see, when you don't have the knowledge of the Bible, and when you don't know the Lord, you don't have an anchor or a guide, and you can just start to do what everybody else does. And we now, all the elections seem to have a committee to find out what bad somebody did 20 years ago, and let's bring it up. But, you know, we know in Christ that when you're saved and when you're born again, you're clean. You're clean. One of my wife's brothers married a woman that had some problems in her past life, but then she got saved. And I remember her, these people, and my mother-in-law, who was a wonderful Christian, wonderful person, nothing bad, but she made some bad remarks about the girl he brought home who had accepted the Lord. And her brother said, well, now, Mom, all my life you taught that when a person became a Christian, they were cleansed and they were clean, and old things are past and we're new people in Christ. And he says, here I brought a girl home who has accepted the Lord. She's living a beautiful Christian life now. She's devoted to Christ. And isn't it proper that we don't mention things that were done previous, when she was unsaved? And his mom was kind of caught. Well, I guess so. I guess we have to accept her. And, of course, she, by the way, she's been like a saint for the last 30 years. And we're new in Christ. But it says false accusers, incontinent. You can't control them. Fierce, mean, despisers of those that are good. Despisers of those that are good. Do you see that in verse 3? Chapter 3, verse 3. Despisers of those that are good. Well, that literally, and that's a wonderful translation, despisers of those that are good, but that's aphiloi agathoi. You know, he uses phileo again. He uses word love, but this time he says, not lovers of good people. They don't love good people. He uses, three times he said, you know, lovers of self, lovers of money, lovers of pleasure, and now in verse 3 he says, but they're not lovers of those that are good. Not philoi, same word, philoi, not lovers of the good people, agathoi. And so we would like everyone to love us. We would like, I was shocked to hear, by the way, one of the people of my high school class at a recent high school reunion, he said, oh, I hope nothing happens to President Trump, because he says, I'm really scared of that guy Pence, because Pence is an evangelical, and we don't want him. He says, we'd rather have Trump. He didn't like Trump, but he says, oh, I really don't want Pence to become president. And so we're not surprised that if you don't know the Lord, if you don't have the guidance, if you don't know the cross, if you don't know the Bible, despisers of those that are good. And it's kind of a shock that everybody won't like you if you stand for Christ. But we're not shocked, because he tells us that before the days before the Lord comes, there are going to be people like this. And, of course, the natural teaching also is that we should not be like that. We should not be like that. In fact, we had a student in seminary that was like 100% for the Lord. He became my assistant. I became a pastor in Chester, PA. He became my assistant. And, you know, a lot of people didn't like him because all he talked about was the Bible. Now, we don't need to go into that, but I remember at lunchtime, he would say at the seminary, we would eat lunch at the seminary between classes, and he would come into the lunch and say, why are you people all eating lunch? Why aren't you out giving out tracts instead of eating lunch? And then he went with a girl, and she said, every time I say a word about any other subject, he brings it back to the Bible, and he won't let me talk about anything but the Bible. Then when I talk about the Bible, he always corrects me and says, well, you're really wrong on that. And we want to avoid that. Even my wife, who's like the perfect person. How's that, Marion? My wife is like the perfect person. I said my next book is going to be How to Live with the Perfect Wife. Of course, a lot of you will want to get a copy. But I remember she said, do we have to drive with Joe every time? He won't let us talk about the Bible if we say, if we're driving, he says, oh, isn't that a pretty house? He would always say, oh, Dr. Cohen, doesn't the Bible speak of houses, you know, our heavenly house? And, I mean, overtly, he would do that. And I say, I'm not going to not like a person just because he loves the Bible too much. He loves the Lord too much. And people said, can't you get another assistant? Because all Joe can talk about is the Bible. And I said, no, I don't want to go in heaven and face the Lord. And, you know, why was he fired? Well, he loved the Lord too much. Now, we understand you ought to be balanced and all that, and bless him and bless him. But the world does not love the Christians. And that's an amen from heaven. And the last one, verse 4, it says, in the end, people will be traitors. See, not appreciative. Heady, high-minded. By the way, high-minded is a Greek expression that is often translated as puffed up. Puffed up. You know, like popcorn, you heat it, and well, puffed up. Well, we understand in Christ, we give glory to the Lord. All that we have is from the Lord, and we are really saved sinners, saved by grace. So we don't want to be puffed up. But in the end, to be puffed up, and it says, they will love the pleasure more than lovers of God. Again, here it says philo. It says philo theoi, lovers of God. And we understand that primarily we should love God out of gratitude for our existence, for our creation, for all the good things he gives us, and especially for the Lord Jesus. When I was a young Jewish boy, we, of course, learned Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And you remember when they asked Jesus, what is the best, what's the most important commandment? He quotes Deuteronomy 6, 5. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. And Jesus said, and there's a second commandment, wait a minute, like the first. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And we used to sing this in Hebrew. I don't know. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Achad Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuto L'Olam Voed. And Jesus said, the biggest commandment is love God, and then love our neighbor, and he that loves his neighbor fulfills the law. Sure, if you care for your neighbor, you won't do any evil toward them. And if you love God, you obey God, you honor God, you pray to God, you rejoice in God, you have the peace of God, you love. And so that's the guide. So we're not shocked at what's happening today. We are shocked, but we're not totally shocked. We're shocked partly because 30, 40 years ago, there were 50 years ago, there was like a higher level of morality. And now everybody's protesting about it against everything. We say it's not a great time to be a teacher because the young people are very disrespectful. They have taught you protest against everybody, you argue with the teacher. When many of you were little, we remember that, you wouldn't dare contradict the teacher. You wouldn't dare criticize the teacher. You wouldn't dare say, I'm going to have my father and mother come to school and tell you a mouthful. But there was more respect. But the Bible gives us guidance for difficult times. God knew all about it. But what we see as we look at the last days, we lift up our eyes because our Lord's coming should be soon. And there's going to be some group alive when the Lord comes that will not see death. And maybe it'll be this group, but it's going to be some group, and our Lord's coming, and our Lord will make everything right. And when we see the world, Frank mentioned earlier, it's a wonder the president doesn't just say, "I quit." And you know, sometimes I've thought that about the Lord Jesus facing the cross, facing the horrors of the cross, the pain, the embarrassment, that he didn't just say, "I can't go through with this," and go to heaven. But he, for his love for us, went to the cross that we might be saved. And let us be thankful, and let us be the opposite of the unsaved in the last day, and let us pray for them. And many get saved, and some of the worst, when they get saved, become the best. And may that be our portion. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this word of guidance for the end of the days. We thank you that you knew what it would be like in these last days. Help us to be a light that shines, a light that shines in reasonableness, in kindness, in gentleness, and in love, and an example for the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel, that those who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved, and the true happiness is not from love of self or love of money or love of pleasure, but true happiness is through the love that we have for our God and our Lord and for our neighbor. Dismiss us now with thy blessing, with a thankful and peaceful heart. In Jesus' name, amen.
Just a quick announcement for those that don't get warnings. Keystone Heights is under a severe thunderstorm watch now through 8 o'clock tonight. Long time. So be prepared. Hope you don't have any picnics planned.